You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Good Fred would be uncomfortable if your buddy's spouse invited you over for lunch and didn't tell your buddy.
I'd have zero problem with it.
What if you walk in and she's wearing a Cowboys jersey?
That would bother me.
She's wearing a Cowboys jersey.
Take her into another room. I want to talk to you. Who do you think you are wearing a Cowboys jersey?
Not who's this man you're eating lunch with.
No.
Why do you have a Cowboys jersey?
No. Ray, hey, how are you? Grab it. What are you doing?
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
You don't mind that Raymond wasn't wearing pants? Pants, schmants, no!
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, very nice, Raymond. Very nice. That's an hour in the books. Big 7 o'clock hour on the horizon. Evan Cook sends an email and he says, as best friends, it shouldn't be any issue if any of you guys are having lunch with your friend's wife. Nothing.
Having lunch is not the issue. Not telling your friend.
Maybe you didn't
know. What do you mean you didn't know?
Maybe he didn't know. Maybe he's like, listen, I got business up in Westchester. And all of a sudden he's like, you know, I have a little time to kill. Let me pop over and have lunch with Sherry. If I was on the island, I would pop over and say hi to Cass.
I would still think it's a little weird. Well, you decided to pop over.
You'd be welcome to.
My first thought in Westchester wouldn't be like, hey, I'm going to go pop over and see Sherry.
Why?
Like, I wonder if Dave's home.
Well, so maybe just stop by the house and be like, hey, is Dave around? Be like,
yeah. I'd text you first, I think.
She'd be like, why don't you come in for lunch?
Like that?
Maybe.
Yeah, well, that would be a little awkward.
Uh-huh. All right, question for you. Sherry makes a play at you. A very aggressive, a floozy-like play.
I'd tell you immediately.
Would you?
Of course. Keep that to myself.
Would it pain you, or would you tell Cass, like, I went over the house, I thought Dave might be home, she made a move on me. You tell Cass that? Because now it changes the dynamic of our relationship.
No, I think I would tell you. I think I would tell you first.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Just like, so you know.
Would you be upset by that?
I would be, yeah. That Sherry would do something like that to my buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think you'd be remotely torn of what to do?
No, I would not be torn. No.
A little. How about if she's wearing the boots? You think if she's wearing the boots, you're like, oh, man, not the boots.
No.
No.
No, 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 no.
You'd look at her differently forever. Yes, you would.
It would probably change the relationship.
Yes. RJ? You show up, Sherry makes a pass at you, a physical pass. Do you just deny it and move on, or do you tell me?
Are you just going to interrogate us one by one about this hypothetical situation that we hope never happens?
Well, it's never going to happen. I just want to know how you would react to it.
I would panic and call you immediately.
I can see RJ like running out of the house.
Yes.
You would. What does panic mean, though?
I'd call you right there, maybe FaceTime you, although you didn't have your phone yesterday, so that'd create quite the dilemma.
Right.
And then I'd panic even more, and I'd have to just run away and get my car and drive.
And just start driving in any direction.
Yeah, I'd probably even go in the wrong direction.
But do you tell me? You tell me right away.
I'd have to. See, but here's what I'd be fearful of.
That I wouldn't believe you.
No. What if you make the decision?
Why are you laughing?
What if you make the decision, I have to get rid of one of my friends? He's the threat.
This is a plant?
No.
If Sherry hits on any of you guys, I can't blame you. I would have to blame her.
But what if you did? What if you're like, I need RJ off the show now? That would be concerning.
Yeah,
for
but
me.
Here's the thing.
So it's all about you, huh? It's all about your job and your well-being and your financial security?
No, because
security?
I think a piece of you, because you would forgive Sherry. I think you said that before. And you did. Why is RJ giving off that vibe?
I wouldn't blame RJ for giving it off. Listen, RJ has a machismo to him.
He does have an aura.
Yeah. I can't blame him for that.
There is a natural sex appeal.
Now, if I go home and Sherry said, listen to what RJ did when he was over, that would be an issue. Like Costanza goes into the bathroom, comes out with no clothes on.
Right.
That would be a major problem.
Next like, hey, Sherry, want to see the chicken breast? Like something like that.
Yes. I would love that.
Could get weird.
Yeah.
See, next day, I just disappear. I think that's what happens. I think you go home, you know, you think it over, you talk with Sherry, you hear out her side. Next day, I disappear.
The problem with this situation is it screws up everything.
the whole show never gets back to where it is.
Yeah. Never again.
Well, don't do that, RJ.
Well, he's not going to do that. No one on the show is going to do that.
I just want to be sure.
No one's going
to
do that.
This, you want to hear something?
What?
This, and I swear to God, this is true.
Uh-huh.
We were hanging out in college, like our friend circle.
Oh no.
They had
a thing.
No, never. But a female friend of ours had a boyfriend. And we thought he was cool. He'd been around for a few months.
Okay.
And we're hanging out one night. And she goes, you know, it's funny. I had this dream that, and there's like 10 of us. RJ, that you and I hooked up last night. But it was kind of like out of nowhere.
So she's having sex dreams about you.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I think you know exactly what happened.
So I kind of laugh it off. I did nothing. I could see why the boyfriend would have a problem bringing this up.
Yeah, of course.
But here's the problem. And this is why I tie it back to why I'd have fear of how your hypothetical would play out. He was glaring at me for the rest of the night. He was not mad.
You didn't do anything wrong.
I didn't do anything.
He was glaring at the wrong person.
He was, but he totally.
Yeah, but you can't even glare at her, really. She's done nothing wrong. Her subconscious is, it's not her fault.
You can't vocalize something like that.
No, I agree.
Not in front of people.
Numerous missteps there.
Yes.
She can't say anything, and his anger is directed at the wrong people.
However, he didn't stick around that much longer. Maybe this was the beginning of the end. He, by far, 100% blamed Dream RJ and took that into real RJ. And I don't think he ever forgave me for this thing that...
He never forgave you for a thing you had issue with.
He was very strange towards me from that point.
Really?
Yes.
The thing is, the threat was established from then on in. And
RJ was like his sexual Freddy Krueger is what he was.
That wasn't a slip of the tongue by the girlfriend.
Well,
by
maybe
the way.
It was a slip of the tongue.
No, she did that on purpose. She 100% did
so
that
RJ,
on
that
purpose.
Was her desperate way of saying, I want you. I need you.
I don't think so because
be with me.
It's so bold in front of your significant other.
Like she was done with him. She was done with him.
I don't know, maybe.
Raymond, have you ever cheated on anybody in a dream? Or been with anybody to make the cheating on the other side?
Didn't we talk about this? I feel like
he was that guy.
This.
No. I know you did it in real life. I'm saying, did you ever dream cheat?
Everybody like has a dream or something would happen. Yeah.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. But
have you ever dreamed about Cass?
I can't say that.
Good.
Are you trying to just break the show apart?
I'm trying to make us closer. The show. I think by me asking these poignant questions, it brings us closer together, is what it does.
I don't think that brings people closer together.
No, it does not bring anyone closer together.
If anything, it drives a wedge.
Yes.
Dave's going to get home, just go into every different room.
Rick? RJ, did this... RJ,
Ray, are you here?
RJ, did the guy that she... her boyfriend, did he like you? Did you guys have a close relationship, or was he ever like...
We were never super close, but previous... He'd been around for a few months. We were cool.
Do you think he was kind of maybe jealous of you, though?
I don't think so. I think he was just really mad.
And she wanted to kind of send the message?
You know what I think she was doing? News gets out when people want it out. I think she was using it to gain leverage.
So the
over
Joe
him.
Shane situation.
Yeah, to gain leverage over him about something and use me as a prop.
Right.
And me as the prop, like my draft stock.
Yeah,
plummeting.
But I mean, in retrospect, what she did was ruin you. She made you look bad.
Well, no, it ruined the relationship.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what she was trying to do is what he said.
Now, were you with the lady at this time?
No.
Which I find hard to believe with the kind of paninis he was whipping up.
Yeah, paninis and that hair. Yeah, I agree with you. Although he was a heavy set gentleman at one point.
He was not heavy set.
He said he was 175.
Was that
that freshman year?
No, that was on air.
Yeah, freshman year.
Rick was getting all the breakfast at the time.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I gained
75.
And now he's 150.
Pounds. Yeah.
So
wow. Not great.
You have any pictures of that?
I'd
love to see a photo.
Fat RJ?
Yeah, I
love that.
You really loved those paninis, didn't you?
I could try to find something.
There's more than the paninis.
Let's go to Ryan in the Bronx. Hi, Ryan. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
A lot of grilled cheese.
Good morning. How's everything, boy?
Good. What's going on, buddy?
All right, listen. I figured it all out. Dave, unlike me and Slick Rick, you're in a different era than us, okay? You got some years on us. We grew up on Maury and Jerry Springer, okay? So we know... not to do these types of things. I thought you were crazy, but you're crazy, bro.
Wow.
Like, because normal people don't go to their friend's house for lunch with their wives without them there. If any of my boys right now, any of their wives hit me up and like, oh, come to lunch today. Red flag. Oh, she wants a smash. It's crazy. We grew up on this. It's crazy.
So let's just be honest now, Ryan. you don't completely trust your wife.
Bro, I don't care. Yeah, you're right. Maybe that's
so you don't.
What it is.
So,
no.
So Ryan,
no.
let's, this is not
knows.
About me, Ryan. This is an issue with you
no.
and your wife.
No,
you don't
no,
trust.
It's
you
not
don't
that.
Trust your wife.
I do. First of all, she knows better not to ask any one of my friends to come over for lunch. That's not that I'm not around. Because
so you open
like
the door, you walk in from work, and they're having just a really nice lunch. You know that they've got
oh,
food.
Yeah.
You would lose your mind. Lose your mind.
Okay, here's what would happen. So I did the Bronx Shuffle, and I moved up north to Putnam County. If I came home and my wife was having a beautiful, delicious lunch with one of my boys
yep.
in the kitchen or living room or wherever, I am going to execute my Second Amendment rights. There's no way I'm coming home and seeing my friend having lunch with my wife and they're not going to be naked. It's just the era that we live in. It's the era that we live in.
Did you just say they're not going to be naked?
You've seen what you've done.
All right.
You see what you've done.
All right, Ryan, thank you for the phone call. See what
red flag.
Done.
Red what? Flag. Oh, she wants to smash.
Red flag. Red flag.
I'd be
it's like he's
call.
Calling an audible at the line of scrimmage.
There's no way I come home and they're not naked.
Can you like under center? Like red flag, smash on three.
Ryan, I hope everything's okay, buddy.
Oh my goodness.
See, sounds like there's something deeper there.
That call was troubling.
Sounds like there's something real there that he's worried about.
Red flag. Oh, she wants to smash.
but by the way, this is shut up, people. You ready for this?
Yep.
Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott's brother, Tad.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
Roasts Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts when ranking his top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. Quote, you said quarterbacks, not running backs. Why do I have to hear from Dak Prescott's brother on
Tad
what he
Tad is
think?
Very vocal, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, honestly, if I'm...
If it was
if
up to him, he'd take Dak right out of Dallas.
If I'm the Cowboys and if I'm Dak, I would sit him down and be like, shut up.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
We don't need to hear from you. Nobody cares what you think.
Well, forget just the Cowboys. I mean, it's
an entire offseason of family members.
Right.
Like we're doing this
but the,
again.
The family members don't understand that it gets... I mean, whatever you say, people assume is coming from or is the opinion of the...
So you're just the mouthpiece for right. what Dak... Well, that's even worse.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that one in particular, but some of the stuff that was said earlier in the offseason, it feels like, you know, if, you know, CeeDee Lamb, was it CeeDee Lamb's mom? Raymond?
Mom. Yeah.
Yeah,
CeeDee
saying
Lamb's
something.
Mom,
then she's her
Micah Parsons' brother.
Right. Who do you call and complain to? It's usually people
tired.
That you're close to and you trust. The Raymond's so done with the Cowboys.
It's actually disheartening.
It makes me sad.
It's disheartening because I think part of the allure of Raymond is he's such a Cowboys fan that you can battle him. There's no battle to be had
no,
now.
There's no fight left. None right now.
None whatsoever. Let's go to Joe in Staten Island. Hi, Joe. You're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I just wanted to talk about the Jets, what they did yesterday. I absolutely love the move. I think that really solidifies the wide receiver position. And now going into the draft, I want to know what you guys think about maybe we got to go after Brock Bowers. I mean, I think he's a stud, an absolute stud. He would be a perfect piece for this offense. What do you guys think?
I would have a hard time not really considering taking him if he's sitting there at 10 with how good I think he is.
I would have no issue with that.
No, I'd have no issue either. I think the point that was made yesterday on the show, and I don't want to give credit to one person, but it was made on the show yesterday, which is I think it's going to be something that Aaron says he talks to Joe all the time about stuff like this. Is it something, if we're going to use the 10th overall pick and there's other opportunities to draft an offensive lineman or there's an opportunity to trade back and pick up another, you know, pick up a second round pick or whatever it ends up being, like, are we going to get the most out of this investment in him, in this offense, with Nathaniel Hackett?
So you're not drafting at all for the future. Not, it's all the immediate.
Well, the future for the next, I mean, it could be 2 years. It
right,
could be
but, if
years.
I, but if I take a tackle, that's going to benefit me, you know, for the next decade.
Well, but it's also going to benefit you after this year when you're going to be, I mean, when...
When you lose Tyron Smith.
Right. So,
right.
I mean, both are going to benefit you. I'm just saying, like, is it bang for your buck?
But are you thinking what's going to benefit me more quicker when you make this decision of who you're going to take?
I would think, yeah, what's going to give you the
probably
most...
Probably so, right?
Most instant impact.
This is a nasty email.
What?
Corey Marte. You better have your phone today, you bleep. Real genius you are, huh?
Wow.
I mean... Did I show a lack of intelligence
no,
by forgetting my phone at home?
You were trying to get very offended that you left your phone.
You wanted to keep yourself hydrated, so you picked up the waters and the protein bar.
I mean, I made a mistake. I don't think it shows a lack of intelligence.
You've committed a vicious, vicious crime, according to him.
Greg Mills emails in, Dave, I always thought you were better than this. It's bad enough we have to listen to your pretty boy co-host vomit all over the Jets, but now you're doing it as well. This is a team that is an embarrassment. They've never won a thing, and yet fans act and talk like they're the Chiefs. And we all have to listen to this for a second straight year. Never thought you would join in. You're sad and pathetic. Because I like what the Jets have done.
Has one person on this show ever acted or pretended like the Jets were anything like the Kansas City Chiefs? Not one time.
No. And I'll sit here and tell you now that the Chiefs are in a different stratosphere than the Jets. But to not look at this and be excited, I know there are a lot of ifs. If Tyron Smith is healthy, if Mike Williams is healthy, if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, it's all, but they're all immensely talented players, and this is all predicated now on health.
You're right. And all the things that you would point to that will hold this team back as we move into this next season. So far, Joe Douglas has done a good job of addressing those issues. The offensive line was a huge issue. How is he going to get it fixed? And you get a guard, you get two tackles, you get AVT back, and now on top of that, you add Mike Williams, and now you have the flexibility at 10 to do a bunch of different things. Right? Like the draft can fall through now. There's no sense of urgency. I got to get a tackle, or I got to get a wide receiver. I mean, relax, man. No one said they were the Chiefs.
No. I don't even know that they're the Bills.
I don't even know if they're going to win the division.
Right.
You can still be excited.
But you got to go to the playoffs.
Have to.
That's an absolute minimum. Okay, do you have to win a playoff game? Yes. Yeah, I think you do.
Yeah, probably.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
RJ, it was really unsettling. I totally lost my composure at one point during the meeting.
You yelled at people? Because we kind of had dueling meetings going on.
I understand why you guys were not in our meeting.
We were in a different meeting.
We weren't needed in yours.
We wanted you.
The other people didn't.
They said we don't want you in the meeting?
We weren't wanted or needed.
Seems odd to me, to be honest with you. So what meeting did you guys have?
Meeting back here.
Top secret information.
Small,
with
a, private.
With high-ranking officials.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Brian Windhorst. You're familiar with the work of one Brian Windhorst, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know he went to the same high school as LeBron?
I did.
Graduated like 5 years earlier than LeBron. So he, of course, on ESPN. This banana looks like it's been through the ringer, by the way.
They're all like that.
They're all like that.
Delicious.
Maybe so. So Brian Windhorst on ESPN yesterday. Guess what he had to say? He has a health update on one of the members of the Knicks.
Let me guess. Mitchell Robinson will be back by the end of the month.
Let's take a listen to what one Brian Windhorst had to say yesterday.
They've got a very important MRI that OG Anunoby came back from the West Coast to New York to get on that elbow that he just had surgically repaired. And if that MRI shows more damage, I reserve the right to be a little worried about the Knicks, because when they have OG, they're 15-2. When they don't, they're below 500.
Right.
But they continue to be rough and tough. Mitchell Robinson should be back before the end of the month. We're still waiting on Julius Randle. But they're only going to get better as long as they can get healthy. And look where they are. They're in fourth with a shot at the second seed still.
A real shot at the second seed. Now, a couple things there. My understanding, the MRI has been done on OG, and it's clean. And that's, end of the month is next week.
Right.
So we're going to get Mitchell Robinson back by the end of next week. Think about that center position now. Robinson and Hartenstein, find me a team in the league that is a better duo than that.
Who?
I'm not saying that like Jokic is center. He's obviously better, but I'm saying like a 1-2 punch.
1-2 punch like that?
They can give you 12 fouls.
I think you saw how effective it could be last year in that Cleveland series. Mobley,
they dominated them.
Mobley and Allen didn't have a chance.
Dominated them. But I don't think, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't think anybody was under the impression that even at that point, Hartenstein was this player.
Well, he wasn't given the opportunity to show you what he's fully capable of doing.
Without Robinson, you really haven't missed a beat.
It got a little dicey there when you were dealing with Hartenstein's Achilles and trying to manage that. But, over the last however many games, he's starting to look like the Hartenstein that we saw before he was dealing with the Achilles. But yeah, that's great news. I didn't think Mitchell Robinson was that close.
I mean, end of the month is next Sunday. So you're talking about, today's what, March 20th?
Yeah.
Talking about 11 days. He's going to be back within 11 days. That is great news for this team.
Which I think is important for him too, because he was dealing with, that lower body injury is tougher to come back from just because you can't do as much, cardio-wise. It's easier for a guy that's dealing with the upper body. You can keep your cardio up. So
right.
It's good that you're getting him back was still some time before you hit the playoffs.
It's great news. Now, you need OG to come back healthy. Okay, here's a question for you. How good can they be if Randle doesn't come back? OG's healthy and Robinson is back.
I think they can win a first-round playoff series.
Can they go to the Eastern Conference Finals?
No.
So, under no way do you envision the Knicks going to the Eastern Conference Finals if they do not get a healthy Julius Randle?
I don't want to say there's no chance, but he's an all-NBA player, man. He's a legitimate offensive threat that you have to account for.
All right, let me give you another scenario. OG's not right, not healthy. He plays, but it's not right. But Randle comes back and is close to what he's been.
So I'm getting pretty close to Julius
Randle. You're going to get Robinson in the month.
And I have OG on the court, though. Like, maybe not as good offensively, but still.
All right, you know what? Just to make this clean, no, OG doesn't come back. OG out, Randle back,
I would say probably the same thing.
Same thing. So in order for the Knicks to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, they have to have all those guys available.
Well, it's almost like you would lean OG just because when he plays, even when you saw him come back.
15-2, right?
They're 15-2. He has that kind of impact on this team. I just think once we get to the playoffs, and for me and you, I think our biggest question this entire season outside of the health stuff now was, do the Knicks have another level they can get to? Because the teams that you're playing against in the playoffs, they have another level. They don't take the regular season as seriously as the Knicks do. Like, you'll be able to outwork teams during the regular season. You're never going to outwork the Knicks. But postseason, when everyone, is given that same kind of equal effort.
Can you match that? And last year you saw the Heat were able to match that.
Yeah, right. I would also say for the teams that are going to have to play the Knicks, can you match the Knicks? Can you match the physicality? Because that's all we keep hearing. Right? Every team that plays against this team, Sacramento was talking about it. Like, this is, like, the level of physicality and intensity that you're facing against the Knicks is, it's like postseason basketball.
But the Knicks have nowhere to turn. That's the one concern that you have.
Where they're going to turn is, I'm going to get Mitchell Robinson back, I'm going to get OG back, and I'm going to get Randle back.
Correct, but they can't ratchet it up to, all right, guys, we're in the postseason, now we raise the level of our intensity. That it's a credit to them, but I think a concern as well, because it's a credit that you play as hard as you can in game 55 and 60 and 70 and all those things, but there's kind of nowhere to go from here. This is what you are.
But I also think once now you have the ability to have your starting five on the floor together, it also does, as you push guys back to what they're supposed to be doing, you can start maybe pointing to one of the things that I think we pointed to when they made the deals. Now, they haven't worked out yet. Alec Burks hasn't been as good as we have hoped. Bogdanovich, the same thing. But you start talking about the depth this team has now.
Tons of depth.
If they have everyone healthy.
If they have these three guys back, right? OG back, Robinson back, Randall back, DiVincenzo, Jalen Brunson, Hartenstein.
Look who you're bringing off the bench.
And now you talk about Bogdanovich and Burks off the bench. We didn't even mention DiVincenzo, Precious Achiuwa, Josh Hart. Are you talking about, like, Brunson you need on the court. But I think if you could get, you're not going to need Julius Randle to give you 43 minutes a night.
No, you won't. But I think the thing with Julius Randle, and I tell you this all the time when we talk about it, is what separates, you know, all-star, all-NBA kind of, you know, caliber players is there's a level of consistency. Now, Julius hasn't shown that consistency in the postseason yet. Year one, I don't think was fair because it was kind of him and then no one else. And then last year, he was hurt. But, like, knowing going into a game as an opposing team that you're going to have Jalen Brunson and I don't know what percentage Julius Randle will just call, I'm pretty close to healthy. Like, that's something you have to worry about. And there's a consistency into what, you know, what you expect from those guys. We've seen it times a season where, you know, DiVincenzo was good, but there's games when he's not. Like, if you're relying on him to be a guy that's going
right.
to score consistently.
If he's your second offensive player, that's doesn't make you feel great. If he's your fourth, and there are going to be nights where he doesn't need to play more than 22 minutes a game, and you don't need him to score, and that's a great place to be sitting.
Right. So, I mean, it's just everything falls into place when you're healthy.
That's
you
right.
saw what this team was capable of doing in January. This was without Mitchell Robinson.
Here's Stephen A. He was on First Take yesterday. If healthy, take a listen to what he thinks the upside for the Knicks are.
If the New York Knicks get healthy, I believe they are the number one threat to the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference. I think they're going to the conference finals. Now, obviously, that's a lot to ask. Julius Randle separated shoulder. I don't know if he's ever going to be healthy, man. I was so depressed when he got hurt because I said, damn, listen, they 14 games over 500 right now. They'd be at least 20 games over 500 if Julius Randle had never gotten hurt, okay? They wouldn't win on no damn slump. Don't get me started with OG Anunoby and how efficient they have been defensively. Mitchell Robinson, if you had that big body, a rebound, and a shot blocker, the defense is already elite without him. Imagine what they would have been with them. So I'm looking at it from that standpoint. I love the pickups of Burks, Achiuwa, and obviously Bogdanovich. I'm looking at the New York Knicks right now, and let me tell y'all something right now. Orange and blue sky, baby. Orange and blue sky.
All right, so a couple things. Firstly, I don't know why he's so excited about Burks and Bogdanovich, to be honest with you. Achiuwa's been a great addition.
I just think the depth. I think when you, I mean, he's talking about a fully healthy team with that kind of depth.
But I think he's...
How about Deuce?
Yeah, he's been awesome.
And what he's doing,
mention him. So tell me, Knicks fully healthy, Milwaukee or the Knicks? Second best team in the Eastern Conference. Boston has the mantle, right? They're clearly number one.
I would probably still lean Milwaukee. Well,
because you've seen it from them?
Well, because I've seen it from them, and I think they still have arguably the best two.
I don't know about that
anymore.
That's
why I said arguably. I would say I would write
clearly
down the way Jalen Brunson is playing, but clearly the best.
Right.
And having Mitchell Robinson, especially if you're dealing with Giannis, would help big time.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
What's your genre of question today?
I'm going Major League Baseball.
Oh, is that right? Because it's the start of the Major League season over in another continent.
That's right.
That's nice.
It seems fitting.
Good for them.
Yeah.
What do we have, by the way? Padres up 2-1?
Yeah, Tyler Wade just made a nice play. Real nice play.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I missed that.
Diving play. Force out at second.
Uh-huh.
Real nice.
Game moving along quickly.
It is.
I will tell you this. I love the studs
in the mound.
The pace of play. Love it.
It's the best thing that
I didn't even realize, though. RJ told me they took out Darvish 3-1/3.
This is the problem with this, though. This is the, I mean, you can't really be fully ensconced.
We've missed a lot of things, apparently. I mean, Mookie Betts reaching on the pitch clock.
Yeah, I didn't
error.
See that.
Yeah, that's what happened.
So the pitch clock expired, three balls, fourth ball, three-one, first.
Yep.
Yep.
You was mid-windup.
Me was?
You.
Oh.
You.
You're an idiot. You are an idiot. You really are.
And the ump just did the timeout. Nope. Pointed to his wrist. Told Mookie go to first.
Yeah, so. Padres managing like this is Game 7 of the World Series.
I mean, this is their rivals. They don't like this team.
3 2/3 for Darvish through 72 pitches.
72 pitches. Not the same game of baseball that we grew up with.
Well, but I mean, it's also a week earlier.
I know.
Right? So, I mean, there's probably a certain number they want to get.
It's a lot of pitches in 3 2/3, by the way.
Look at that lineup.
Not very economical.
Look at that lineup.
I understand. It's a good lineup.
He's facing.
Secure the seats and the memories this year from Vivid Seats, your home for every slam dunk, slap shot, and stolen base. Vivid Seats celebrates fandom with unbeatable rewards like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. With Vivid Seats rewards, you earn with every purchase from buzzer beaters to walk-off homers. Vivid Seats has a great selection and great prices on all the games that matter the most to you. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN. So I asked RJ.
Can I ask? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Of course you can.
And this is probably going to sound very mean for the Padres.
Yeah.
How can the team expect to compete and they're rolling out Tyler Wade on opening day?
That is not nice.
That isn't very nice. No.
That
hurtful.
Is.
Some would say hurtful.
I'm sorry.
Where is he playing? Third base?
Yeah, he's playing. That's all I can tell you.
So you just think he's such a bum. Tyler, well, I mean, he's batting eighth and playing third base. I think you can manage that, no?
We saw Tyler Wade here. We know what he's about.
They're playing some guy by the name of Merrill in center field.
You understand who normally would play third base for the Padres, though, right?
And he's there. So.
Well, he's not. I mean, but Machado not playing.
But he's the third baseman, though.
Well, I didn't bring this up.
I'm just saying, Tyler Wade is not their everyday third baseman.
Right. I mean, because the guy. So what are we going to say about the Yankees when somebody's filling in for LeMahieu on opening day? How can you win a game when you have this?
Lots of things we could say about the Yankees. Similar. You know how I feel about the Yankees? Similar to the Cowboys. Spend a little more money.
All you have right now really is the Knicks that you feel great about.
Yeah.
It's tough Rangers
loss. Don't love the second period yesterday from your Rangers.
Hellebuck was unbelievable.
Can I say, though, Winnipeg is, like, they're not sexy, but Winnipeg is a good team.
Winnipeg is a good team that is defensive. lucky to have the guy who's going to win the Vezina, who made a lot of really difficult saves look very easy last night.
Had a lot of chances last night.
They do limit chances defensively as well, but yeah, Hellebuck is awesome.
There was some
limit, but the Rangers, I mean, they did a breakaway. They had a lot of chances.
VC had an open net he missed.
They had a lot of chances. They had
Kreider had the
deflection.
Oh, deflected it wide. Did you hear Brian Boyle between the benches last night?
I thought he was good, too,
but he was very involved in the broadcast.
Well, I think they want you to be.
But very involved.
They probably told him. I mean, they're trying to get comfortable. But I actually thought it was pretty good. I think it was the first time I've seen him do it. But being as involved.
Well, the way they were talking to him was because they're like, Brian, you just jump in whenever you want. So they were probably making it sound like it was the first time.
But I actually thought he did a really good job of being as involved as he was and not stepping on anyone's, like knowing when to.
Well, it's not easy.
No.
Because you're not looking them in the eye.
No, I did the
FDNY NYPD game.
Right, in a kilt from where he was standing. That's not easy. But I was actually the color. Me and Don did it together.
You were doing the game with Don. So you were like the Ray Ferraro of the broadcast.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
Awesome.
Is that hard to do color with a guy when you're not with him and he's up there and you're down low? Or is it like there are obvious breaks in the action where you can take over?
I think I would have preferred to do it with Don in the booth. Great. I mean, for me, like, having the chance to be between the benches, hearing everything that was going on, mm-hmm. ice level is awesome. I could see doing that as like the third guy, but
as the second guy, that's a big
ass. Because I like to be, you feed off each other. You react.
Were your legs cold?
Freezing, very cold.
Yeah.
A lot of breeze coming up through that kilt.
I'm sure you did.
A lot of breeze.
But probably not your manliest moment.
There was probably some shrinkage. I would think.
Yeah.
But no one was going to see it.
So I asked RJ, I said, Ange on her way home from school today. She's a teacher, right? On her way home from school, and he gets a call. RJ, Steve, my boyfriend into college, reached out. He's actually in Brooklyn, and he wants to grab a cup of coffee. How'd you feel about that? And RJ's like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I wouldn't love it either.
No?
No.
I'm not saying I would love it, but I think you trust your significant other so that if that's what they want to do, then go catch up.
I'm unsettled that you don't even have a second thought about this.
No, you know what it is? I have a complete and utter trust of my wife. And if she wants to catch up with a former boyfriend, then go catch up. I would have no problem with that.
No, but I think the question I would be asking myself, and I'm sure RJ would be asking the same question, is why is there all of a sudden a need now to go have coffee with your ex-boyfriend?
Well, let's just say that they haven't been in touch in a long time, and he happens to be in Brooklyn, knows she lives in Brooklyn, reaches out and says, hey, I'm married now, haven't talked to you in such a long time, would love to kind of reconnect and see how life has turned out for you. If it didn't end on bad terms, why is that a bad thing?
No, I don't think it's a bad thing. I would also have to know how she would feel if RJ did the same thing to her. Like, hey, ex-girlfriend's in town, wants to meet up for coffee, what do you think? I think naturally people are just, human nature is to be a little bit jealous.
But why? Of
I
what?
Think it's just human nature.
RJ, would you be jealous of this?
I'd find it odd.
There's an insecure, everyone has a level of insecurity.
Yeah. I don't think I have that.
I don't, because I don't think it exists in your brain.
Right, I think that's probably right. But is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's clear that you function differently.
I think it's, I mean, if Sherry wanted to like have like an Ashley Madison situation where she was off having
casual encounters. I would not sign off on that.
No, you wouldn't have to because you don't even, because you have blinders on.
Well, because I implicitly trust her.
Well, let's find out where the line is. So, Sherry, going to go meet ex-boyfriend for coffee in your situation. Okay, that's a one-off. Month goes by. Hey, Rick Pitino's back in town. We're going to go meet up again.
Well, she doesn't know Rick Pitino.
I mean, but it's
so you think.
That's
now, all of a sudden she does, okay?
That's a name I'm using.
Yeah, he's trying to get in some kind of bracket.
So, second time.
See, you know what's amazing, Ray, is it wasn't even funny.
Yeah, we're just moving past it. Second time they meet up. You got a problem with that one?
With the ex-boyfriend?
Yeah, second time.
A second meeting?
Next month, yeah.
Yeah, I would find that to be odd. Yes. Yes, I would have a legitimate problem with the second meeting.
But a one-off, you're good.
Totally good. Totally fine.
Why one and not the other?
Because what's the rationale between having to have a second meetup?
Between the first one?
Well, how has life turned out for you? I think there's something kind of sweet about that.
Or people just want to size each other up and be like, oh, it turns out your life.
I win, right?
Your life stinks.
So Ty chimes in. He says, nah, bruh. He's trying to catch up something else. He says, it's not about your wife. It's about that guy's intentions. But you're missing the point. I don't care what if his intentions are he wants to sleep with my wife. She's not going to do that. That's not a concern for me.
Yeah, but what if in her mind, it's not even cheating because they've already done it before? So it's like, oh, just catching up.
No, that would be a problem.
Maybe we get a little romp in.
That would be, if the a romp is involved, that would be a problem.
Red flag. Oh, she wants
that's
to connect.
Actually probably an indictment on him, too, though. On
who?
On the, on Ty. Because in his mind, that's what he's thinking. So why are you thinking that?
Where his mind goes.
Right, but would that be his intention?
Of course. Would it be his intention, and would it be his concern if his wife said, hey, I'm going out with an ex-boyfriend?
Well, no.
If there's complete transparency.
No. But that's, I think, that's the indictment on Ty, though. If his first thought is, or his instinct is, the only reason why this guy is going out with my girl to have lunch is because he wants to smash my girl, is that's his thing.
We're just throwing that around.
Now, Winthrop is in here now.
Would that be his thought if he was the ex-boyfriend?
Probably so.
Now, maybe I go back, we have a little coffee, and we'll see what happens.
Now, Winthrop has chimed in. What if they were grabbing that drink in a hotel lobby bar? Well, who cares?
Then they burst out in song.
They can sing like they're Sonny and Cher, like, and it's no impact on me.
Can you imagine that?
La La Land?
John, there's no way John could ever.
No.
If John goes out.
John can't ever anyway.
No, if he goes out with an ex-girlfriend for a casual drink.
Right.
And all of a sudden she jumps up in the bar and starts singing fresh out, like La La
She's
Land.
Pregnant by the time she gets home.
Doesn't make it out of the lobby.
No way.
No chance.
Here's the thing. If my wife wants to cheat on me, she's going to cheat on me. Right? There's nothing I can, I mean, I'm not going to put her under lock and key. There's nothing I can really do about it. I trust her. So if she wants to go out with this ex-boyfriend, and if she wants to go out to a hotel to grab a drink with the ex-boyfriend, it has no impact on me. And if she cheats on me, then it's done. Then we're done. Then it's over.
We're getting progressively worse.
Yeah, I don't
here.
Know why we can. This should not be a theme of the show, I don't think. I think maybe.
It's too late for that.
Jets.
It's too late. We're
good
here.
Theme.
It's 7:45.
Joe Shane being diabolical. Good theme.
Okay.
Rangers losing. Awesome theme.
Giants sixth pick.
Glance over the Islanders loss.
Red
Folks
flag
on the Rangers
guy.
Loss.
Are they done?
No, they're not done.
You say no, they're not done. That's a bad, bad loss. Next
don't
up.
Worry about the. Don't worry about the loss in my Islanders.
Okay.
Worry about the Canes.
Oh, I'm worried about the Canes. But the thing is, I'm going to get in.
Well, you're already in.
I'm in. If I'm the two seed, in the Metropolitan. Now I go up against a Philadelphia. Might be, okay, would you rather this? The
yes.
two seed.
Yes.
You don't want Tampa.
No.
This is pushing me towards not having to play Tampa.
Which I told you I would like to avoid if I were you.
Right. You're fighting for your life. Next up for you, Thursday night, Detroit.
Tooth and nail. Tooth and nail fighting.
And unfortunately, RJ Sabres had a rough loss last night.
Yeah, sorry about that, RJ. It's tough.
You're mocking him.
I am.
Why?
That's correct.
Who are you? Who are you? It's not like you have some special team you're rooting
no,
for.
No, I don't have a special team I'm rooting for, but I can take joy in his team losing and your team losing.
Vancouver right to the wire.
At what point do you admit the Islanders are in severe trouble?
Right now.
Severe trouble.
They're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're in trouble. Not loving.
Was that three in a row now they've lost?
It's not great.
Four in a row, maybe?
Shut up. Okay.
It's they're piling
up now.
Just
stop, please?
What do you mean?
Stop.
Let's go to Pete in Westport. Westport, very nice town. Good morning, Pete. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Just wanted to chime in on the Giants conversation. I think Rick's hopefully right about Joe Shane being diabolical with talking about taking a quarterback. I mean, looking back on the last couple drafts, there's really only two quarterbacks that have really panned out with first-round picks. So I'm really hoping that he's going to go with either offensive lineman or a receiver. I think we got to shore up the rest of the offense before we really turn our attention to the quarterback. I think it's just the way that the league is. You know, the quarterbacks are just doomed to fail if they're put in a situation where they need to do too much.
Yeah, but you're not going to have to play the rookie quarterback. If you want, in theory, you could not play the rookie quarterback at all.
Yeah, I mean, unless they're surefire on one guy and they can get that guy, I think you can't kind of choose from what you're left with that sixth pick. So I think if you've got a guy that he wants that he can get at six, then fine. But I don't think that you try to reach for somebody just to get a quarterback.
I agree with that. If you're reaching for any position, I think that you're desperate now. It's probably going to wind up not working, so you can't afford to do that.
Right, but that would spit in the face of your belief, though. I mean, your belief, you're fully on board with both of these guys, and your belief is if they choose a quarterback, you're good with it because that's the guy they've identified as the guy that's going to be the face of this franchise. And if they don't, you also trust that no, the guy they're not going to reach it wasn't the guy. Maybe it was Drake May, but he wasn't available, so I'm going to get I'm going to get the second best receiver or even my favorite receiver in this draft, depending on who you ask.
That's right. That's right. I mean, there's you said there's people the other day that have neighbors rated higher than Harrison.
Yeah. Not just him either. I mean, and Sims has been pretty good. They actually had his track record of him ranking the wide receivers, and he's been pretty damn good
at it. Well, Mel told us a couple weeks back, he said all three receivers are going to be awesome. Odunze, Neighbors, Harrison. So they may be different levels of awesome, but they're all going to be awesome.
It sounds like Harrison's the most NFL ready. He's the most refined.
So could the Chargers get Harrison at five?
Well, I think it depends on what Minnesota does. Right, now, if Joe Shane has been so smart where he has Minnesota believing they got to get to four
right.
or five to get the quarterback, then, I mean, great for him. Job well done.
So you think there's a chance that he has no interest in J.J. McCarthy, love him, we want him, we have to have him.
Here's the problem. Is that we do a four-hour show, and we need to touch on everything. So, I mean, we read everything, we watch everything. And you'll have what we talked about yesterday, where this could be a smokescreen because they want one of the wide receivers, which they need desperately, and haven't addressed in free agency. Or another report where I heard Pat Leonard saying the Giants were furious that the Connor Hughes report of the Giants really loving J.J. McCarthy came out. But it's their job to lie. I mean, it's called lying season for a reason.
Right, but if you feed it to a reporter, now he makes it public, and everybody thinks the Giants love J.J. McCarthy, maybe that's exactly what you intend to have happen.
Correct.
Maybe you're playing chess, right?
Which he did with Thibodeau.
Exactly that. Nobody thought the Giants were going to take him. All these red flags, they loved him
the
entire time.
Which actually pushes me towards what you just said.
But that means that either I'm going to be stuck with these two quarterbacks or they're going to move back into the first round to take a quarterback. But from all you hear, I mean, Bo Nix and Penix might be top 20 picks now.
Well, I think it's going to depend on how the draft falls too. But listen, if you're going to tell me that you have complete faith and trust in Joe Shane and Brian Daboll especially to identify a quarterback and that quarterback isn't J.J. McCarthy, it was Drake May and he wasn't available because top three teams wouldn't trade out, then yeah, next best thing is you get a game-changing wide receiver, which you need
bad. You need so much. You still need so much on this team. I mean, they are in the midst of a full rebuild. Whether people want to admit it or not, they're in the midst of a full rebuild.
Right, but I mean, if Darren Waller retires, you just lost Saquon Barkley. I mean, Devin Singletary's fine, but I mean, what do you have?
You need players all over the place. Well, you need offensive line, you need wide receiver. This is not the Jets where it's like, wait a minute, are we done putting this thing together? And now we just kind of manipulate the pieces a little bit? The Giants need everything. They need corner, they need safety, they need linebacker. Right, you'd say their front four on the defensive line is probably pretty much set, but other than that, they need everything.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see what this ends up being, and then when the draft happens, what they do, and then some of the stuff we hear afterwards. If there was just one quarterback that they loved and that was the only one that they wanted, or what?
Right.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.